नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय रीडिंग फ्रॉम कैंटो 11 चैप्टर 3 वर्स नंबर 40th यर्ह्यब्जनाभचरणै शणयोरुभक्त्या यर्ह्यब्जनाभचरणै चेतो मलानि विधमेत गुणकर्म जानी तस्मिन् विशुद्ध उपलभ्यत आत्मतत्वम् तस्मिन् विशुद्ध उपलभ्यत आत्मतत्वम् साक्षाद् यथा मलदृशो सवितर प्रकाश सवुत्रुक प्रकाश यर्ह्यब्जनाभचरणै शरयोरुभक्त्या चेतो मलानि विधमेद गुणकर्म जानी तस्मिन् विशुद्ध उपलभ्यत आत्मतत्वम् साक्षाद् यथा मलदृशो सवृत्रप्रकाश सवितृप्रकाश यर्ह्यब्जनाभचरणै शणयोरुभक्त्या चेतो मलानि विधमेद् गुणकर्म जानी तस्मिन् विशुद्ध उपलभ्यत आत्मतत्वम् साक्षाद् यथा मलदृशो सवितृप्रकाश शणयोरुभक्त्या चेतो मलानि विधमेद् गुणकर्म जानी यस्मिन् विशुद्ध उपलभ्यत आत्मतत्वम् साक्षाद् यथा मलदृशो सवितृप्रकाशः यर्लब्धलाभशरणै शरणोयुभक्त्या चेतो मलानि उपलभ्यत आत्मतत्वम् साक्षाद् यथा मलदृशो सवितृप्रकाश यर्ह्यब्जनाभचरणैर्पणयोरुभक्त्या चेतो मलानि विधमेद् गुणकर्म जानी तस्मिन् विशुद्ध उपलभ्यत आत्मतत्वम् साक्षाद् यथा मलदृशो सवितृप्रकाशः माताजी मदर्स यर्ह्यब्जनामशरणैर्शणयोरुभक्त्या चेतो मलानि विधमेत गुणकर्मजानि। तस्मिन् विशुद्ध उपलभ्यत आत्मतत्त्वम् साक्षाद् यथा मलदृशो सवितृप् प्रकाशः। यर्हि वेन अब्जनाभ ऑफ द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉड हेड हुज नेवल इज शेप्ड लाइक अ लोटस चरण द फीट एशनया डिजायरिंग ओनली उरु भक्त्या बाय पावरफुल डिवोशनल सर्विस चेतः ऑफ द हार्ट मलानी द डर्ट विधमेत क्लेंसेस अवे गुणकर्म जानी जनरेटेड फ्रॉम द मोड्स ऑफ नेचर एंड मटेरियल जनरेटेड फ्रॉम द मोड्स ऑफ नेचर एंड मटेरियल एक्टिविटीज इन दोज मोड्स तस्मिन इन दैट सर विशुद्धे कंप्लीटली प्यूरिफाइड उपलभ्यते is perceived atmatattvam the true nature of the self sakshat directly yatha just as amaladrushoho of pure eyes savitru of the sun prakashah the manifestations Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada ki jai. Translation. When one seriously engages in the devotional service of the Personality of Godhead, fixing the Lord's lotus feet within one's heart as the only goal of life, one can destroy the innumerable impure desires lodged within the heart as a result of one's previous fruitive work within the three modes of material nature. When the heart is thus purified, one can directly perceive both the Supreme Lord and oneself as transcendental entities. Thus, one becomes perfect in spiritual understanding through direct experience, just as one can directly experience the sunshine through normal, healthy vision. We will read the part B of the purport and I was supposed to speak on that. I was asked to speak on that. So we will begin from the Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has stated from that line. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has stated that the perfect stage of devotional service indicated in this verse can be observed in the activities of such great devotees as Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj approached the personality of Godhead desiring a political adjustment on the material platform. But when purified by the chanting of the holy names of the Lord, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, he felt no further need for material sense gratification. As stated in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Janayati Ashu Vairagyam, as soon as one advances in devotional service, one is freed from the embarrassment of superficial material desires. The words upalabhyata atmatattvam are significant in this verse. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that atmatattvam or knowledge of the soul indicates knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead along with his various expansions such as the impersonal Brahma Jyoti and the marginal living entity himself. As indicated here by the word sakshat, perceiving the personality of Godhead means seeing the personal form of the Lord, his hands and legs, his various transcendental vehicles and servants and so on. Just as by devotion to sun god, one can gradually perceive the personal body of Sun God along with his chariot and personal attendants. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has pointed out that in verses 35 through 39, the various stages of standard logic are demonstrated. Verse 35 establishes Vishaya or general thesis. Verse 36 manifests Samshaya or an expression of doubt. Verse 37 gives the Purva Paksha or opposing argument. And verse 38 definitely establishes the Siddhanta or conclusion. Verse 39 presents Sangati, the summary. The Sangati or the final word is that one should become a pure devotee of the personality of Godhead and worship the Lord's lotus feet. Thus, by cleansing the mirror of the heart, one can see the Lord just as a normal human being with healthy 20/20 vision can very easily see the brilliant rays of the sun, or as an advanced devotee of the Sun God himself can see the personal body of the Sun God. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langhayate Girim Yatkrupatamaham Vande Shri Guru Dinatarinam Paramananda Madhavam Shri Chaitanyam Ishwaram Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrunda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Offer my humble obeisances to all the wonderful Vaishnavas assembled, my senior God brothers. Again, the chapter is called Liberation from Illusory Energy, and knowing my own condition, I understand the complete disqualification on any of the verses actually of this purport. But I will make a humble attempt based on whatever little bit I understood in these lines of the purport. And if I make any mistakes, please forgive. Also, want to offer respects to Lord Ganesh, who is the author of Vedic literatures. It is his appearance day today. The great Vaishnav. According to our scriptures, there are 3 appearance days of Lord Ganesh, and today is the most widely celebrated one. One comes in Magh month also, and then there is one more. I think it's called Pushtipatri something festival. So the 3 appearances. There was one, I was reading one book written by Saswarup Maharaj, His Holiness Saswarup Maharaj, and it is called a Reading Reform Book. And it is a compilation of letters sent by Srila Prabhupada to various disciples to inspire them to read Prabhupada books. And in one of the letters, Prabhupada makes a comment, and he says that, "I want all of you to read my books from various perspectives." So when I read that particular verse, that particular statement of Prabhupada, that I want to understand my books from all different angles and perspectives. I was very confused because I was thinking that how can we understand from various perspectives? First of all, the subject matter itself is completely foreign. When you are an outsider, you start performing bhakti. The only angle which is presented by Srila Prabhupada in his purports. Now, Prabhupada is saying that you should study from all different angles. So, how do you understand this? But when I read this one purport, I could get that one particular angle which is mentioned in this purport so wonderfully by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. So I will make a humble attempt to explain what I am trying to say. Is whenever we all come to Krishna consciousness in the beginning years, we always hear a particular analogy or a particular example. Everyone who has done the succession course or JOSD course, we know this, that there are three ways of understanding any knowledge. Right? There is Pratyaksha Praman, there is Anuman Praman, and then there is Shabda Praman. And I am moving my hands like this because this is the way it is presented. That you always know that the basic is Pratyaksha Praman. That means what you see. Now what is the problem with Pratyaksha Praman? The problem with Pratyaksha Praman is that you have imperfect senses. So then there is a verse from Sisi that we hear that, okay, you know, these are the defects every common man feels. So then what you do? Because senses are imperfect. So then you go to the stage of drawing a inference. Like you look at certain things and you take an inference that because so many things are also happening, maybe this is, no, it's inferential. So that is Anuman Praman. So what is the problem with Anuman Praman? Because we are having problems of getting illusioned and we commit mistakes. So you are getting illusioned, so the inferences that you draw will also be wrong. The inferences will be wrong. So that is the problem. So therefore what you should do, follow Shabda Praman. So this is the one angle of perspective of looking at the entire example. But so we say it like this, we say it like, you know, Pratyaksha Praman, Anuman Praman, Shabda Praman. So it's like one is, but in this verse you see the whole thing from another perspective. It is so wonderfully presented. So actually if you see the Nyaya Shastra, so Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in this purport, and it is being quoted in this purport, that is four facets of Nyaya Shastra have been thought of. Now typically we hear of only these three ways of getting knowledge, but actually there are four. If you open any Nyaya Shastra book, or if you refer to any official book on Nyaya Shastra, there are actually four ways of getting knowledge. So there is Pratyaksha Praman, there is Anuman Praman, there is Upamana Praman also. Upama means you give analogies. And then there is Shabda Praman. So Shabda Praman, Anuman Praman, Upamana Praman and Pratyaksha Praman. Now if you carefully read these four facets which Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur has pointed out, they actually match. So see, there is a straight correlation. Because this is also talking about the facets of Nyaya Shastra. And these things also are given in Nyaya Shastra. So you see, he says, the first verse talks about thesis, an established thesis, that is Shabda Praman. So you make a Shabda Praman, that this is true, this is how it is. And if you read the 35th verse, it makes a Shabda Praman statement, that you are supposed to do something like this. And what happens when somebody makes a Shabda Praman like that? Somebody makes a statement that, you know, this is how it is. This is Shabda Praman. Then for a normal person immediately, he will think, maybe it is true, maybe it is not true. So he'll try to look for some inferences. So therefore the 36th verse, he says that it speaks about samshay, because there is doubt in the mind, there is some samshay, that how can this be true? So then in the 36th verse it is said that, you know, because there are so many restrictions given in the Vedic literature, there has to be a Supreme Personality of Godhead. An inference is drawn. I don't know whether Krishna exists or not, if God exists or not, but an inference is drawn. And after that, because when you draw an inference, you make a, because you say, okay, because it is said like this, like this, like this, so therefore it must be like this. Then immediately there is Purva Paksha. So then there is argument. Then people will start putting analogies. No, but this, you look at this analogy like this, it is different, this analogy is different.
So the Purva Paksha is completely presented in terms of analogies and arguments and debates. And you know, when we read of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime, he must have been so expert in quoting different analogies and sections of the purport. And what happens when you are stuck with this Purva Paksha analogy? So typically if you look at Vedic literatures, whenever there is a debate, there is argument, people are not reaching to conclusion, some advanced personality comes there, or a very brilliant person is present in the assembly, and then that person speaks out. And what that person actually does is that he actually reconciles all these differences and he makes a statement. Like when there was a discussion going on, then what to do with Parikshit Maharaj? He has only 7 days to live. So then there was argument, debate, okay, we should do this, we should do that, we should. That continued until Shukadeva Goswami arrived. When Shukadeva Goswami arrived, okay. And everyone said, okay, you know, speak on Srimad Bhagavat, speak on the pastimes of Lord Krishna. And you know, who can be the better person than this personality? So you see, there is a reconciliation of this that happens. But post this, post the entire reconciliation, then what happens is a conclusive truth. And that is what is addressed here as Pratyaksha Praman. And Pratyaksha Praman is like you actually see Lord Krishna face to face. So what in one perspective, in the initial stages, what we understood Pratyaksha Praman as basic and, you know, it's not really something great. That is actually established as the absolute truth. That is the greatest thing. And to begin with, the process of, so you see this viewing from various perspectives, it is mentioned. So, what I was trying to understand is that the scriptures, okay, another thing is, if you know Shabda Praman, okay, you already know Shabda Praman, which is like the greatest, then what is even the need of Pratyaksha Praman? Why do you even want to understand what is Pratyaksha Praman? So my understanding was, this is where the majority of the problem happens in societies and in communities and in religious leaders. Right? Like the most recent example, the triple talaq system, right? It was like a Shabda Praman. So Shabda Praman exists. So it has to be executed. Everyone has to follow because that is Shabda Praman. But what is the ground reality? What is happening on Pratyaksha? What is happening in people's lives because of that? You see, unless if you just try to remain on Pratyaksha Shabda Praman and say that this is what has to be there, this is how it has to be followed. Like recently, came across one personality, and I'm happy that there is no live streaming of this class. So she's a university professor. I don't know how many of you have heard her name. Her name is Asawari Bapat. She's a professor of Sanskrit in Mumbai University. And she's a woman, and she's a Sanskrit scholar. So she will have her own feelings and understandings when she looks at scriptures. So she made a very statement which is very difficult to digest, but it was true. So she said that after her analysis of Manusmriti, so she went through the entire Manusmriti script. And she said that if the compiler of this book comes in front of me, says, first I will raise my hand. She said like that, first I will raise my hand, but then I will bow down and touch his feet. Because the book is so wonderful. You see? So, if you just take the Shabda Praman and you say, this is what is given, you have to follow it. And you have to follow it as it is. Then people are going to have this type of reaction. They will just say that, no, I can't follow. But then when you draw inferences, when you do Purva Paksha, when there is debate, there is argumentation, with the understanding of ground reality, and then the scripture is made as a Pratyaksha Praman. When the scripture is presented like that, correct? When the essence of the scripture is presented as something that you can practice and experience, then it becomes a reality. It actually becomes an absolute truth. I will just read out to you one. Now in this earlier part of the purport, the reference is given to life of Dhruva Maharaj. And it is mentioned here that how Dhruva Maharaj, his material desires of the heart vanished and then he was able to see Lord Krishna face to face. I just want to read one small purport and one section of the purport from the pastime of Dhruva Maharaj. And there something is mentioned. And then let's think and let's make a pondering that are we actually undergoing that experience in our life? So here Srila Prabhupada says like this. So this is a verse which is just before Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya verse which begins. And the verse states like this. It says, O son of the king, now I shall speak unto you the mantra. So Narad Muni is speaking to Dhruva Maharaj. O son of the king, now I shall speak to you the mantra which is to be chanted with this process of meditation. So he has already described the process of meditation. Now he is chanting, telling the shloka or the mantra which is to be chanted. One who carefully chants this mantra for 7 nights can see the perfect human beings flying in the sky. As I mentioned here like this. We all sing Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudeva every Bhagavatam class so many years. Still don't have an experience of seeing perfect beings in the sky. Also in this purport, a wonderful analogy is drawn. Now this is given by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And he is saying that just by sincere worship of Sun God, one may be able to see the form of Sun God and even be able to see his chariot. Just like that, by the process of devotional service, you can see Supreme Lord. So example is given like that by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in his commentary. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is like, if you see the history, maybe 1600, 1700 century. So in 1600 and 1700 century, he is writing something which should be appealing to the people who are reading it. So he is making a statement that just like by worshipping the sun god, you can see the form of the sun god and you can see his chariot. Just like that. So it's like an analogy given. Means many people must have done that, many people must have seen it. So such people existed during the time of Vishwanathpura Thakur, who could actually see sun god and who can see his form, because that is one of the analogy to understand Supreme Personality of Godhead. So one particular thing that we understand is that many analogies of Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, studying in a city like Bombay, it is just impossible to understand. Means seeing sun god is as difficult as seeing Krishna. At least Krishna I am seeing the wonderful form here in the temple. Sun god, even that facility is not available. Right? So this is my humble conclusion that staying in big metro cities, many of the points of Srimad Bhagavatam we cannot even understand. There is no way to experience. For example, in childhood we remember that we used to have Sanskrit classes. And there was one shloka which said that although the snake is so cool, doesn't mean that you should wrap him around your body. Although the sandalwood is so cool, doesn't mean that you should drink it. Now, okay, sandalwood is cool, I have experience, but snake is cool. How many of you have experience of snake being cool? How many actually have experience of snake being cool? You have? You're lucky. But most of us don't. So recently I was in a place where we were visiting a small school, and one of the process of that school is that they bring a snake and they ask each child to hold a snake, and each child holds it. Right? And I was shocked. So they showed us photos. So children holding snakes like this in the hand. Oh, small children. So when you hold snake in the hand, you can feel how he feels like. How is the creation? Right? So this is the point of, you know, seeing things from various perspectives of life. Like most of us who have been practicing devotional service, who have been reading Srimad Bhagavatam, I'm digressing a little bit, but this is something which I experienced and I wanted to share. So whenever we hear of snake, you know, what do we think of? That shloka from 7th canto. Modeta sadhurapi vrushchika sarpahatya. Right? This happened to me also. When I was attracted to Krishna consciousness, before that I was very much into protecting animals, and I wanted to join WWW and, you know, taken to vegetarianism. And one day I just came and I was sitting here in the class, and the speaker said, ಮೋದಿತ ಸಾಧುರಪಿ ವೃಶ್ಚಿಕ ಸರ್ಪಹತ್ಯ, ದಟ್ ಈವನ್ ಅ ಗ್ರೇಟ್ ಸೇಜ್ ಬಿಕಮ್ಸ್ ಹ್ಯಾಪಿ ವೆನ್ ಅ ಸ್ನೇಕ್ ಇಸ್ ಕಿಲ್ಡ್. ಖಲಾಸ್, ಮೇರಾ ಉದರಿ ದಿಮಾಗ್ ಸಟಕ್ ಗ್ಯಾ. ಆಫ್ಟರ್ ದಟ್ ವಾಟ್ ಐ ಹರ್ಡ್ ಇನ್ ಲೆಕ್ಚರ್ ಐ ಡೋಂಟ್ ರಿಮೆಂಬರ್, ಐ ಜಸ್ಟ್ ರಿಮೆಂಬರ್ ದಿಸ್ ಒನ್ ಲೈನ್. ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಐ ವೆಂಟ್ ಥ್ರೂ ಅ ಸೀರಿಯಸ್ ಹಾರ್ಟ್ ಪ್ರಾಬ್ಲಮ್. ಐ ಸೆಡ್, ವಾಟ್ ಇಸ್ ದಿಸ್? ದಿಸ್ ಪೀಪಲ್ ಇನ್ ದಿಸ್ ಮೂವ್ಮೆಂಟ್, ದೇ ವಾಂಟ್ ಟು ಕಿಲ್ ಸ್ನೇಕ್ಸ್, ದೇ ಆರ್ ಪ್ರಮೋಟಿಂಗ್ ಕಿಲಿಂಗ್ ಆಫ್ ಸ್ನೇಕ್ಸ್, ಅಂಡ್ ಹಿಯರ್ ಐ ಆಮ್ ಗೋಯಿಂಗ್ ಟು ಬಿಕಮ್ ಅ, ಐ ವಾಂಟ್ ಟು ಟೇಕ್ ದಿಸ್ ಅಪ್ ಆಸ್ ಮೈ ಲೈಫ್, ಐ ವಾಂಟ್ ಟು ಚಾನ್ಸ್ ಇಸ್ ಇನ್. ದಟ್ ಒನ್ ಲೈನ್, ಐ ವೆಂಟ್ ಥ್ರೂ ಅ ಸೀರಿಯಸ್ ಮೆಂಟಲ್ ಪ್ರಾಬ್ಲಮ್, ಲಾಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಮೆಂಟಲ್ ಸ್ಟ್ರಗಲ್. That should I continue? Should I follow? Because I don't want to do this. I can't follow a religious path which promotes killing of snakes. So I actually went through a lot of, many years later, when I heard Radhana Swami Maharaj speaking on pastimes of Ramanujacharya, and he told the story of Govinda, where Govinda, he actually put his hand in the mouth of a snake to take out a thorn and to save the snake. Then I said, ha, this is nice. So it's not that only people are killing snakes here. Because what happens is that you read one particular thing and you are bombarded with one particular thing, then you lose this aspect of looking at various perspectives. Now what I am trying to say is that this person, he is actually a Ramanuja Sampradaya devotee, who actually, and he is a snake rescuer, and he stays close to the school. So whenever he rescues a snake, he brings that snake to the school. And you know what is the meaning of a snake rescuer? Have you even heard this word, a snake rescuer, so far? There are snake catchers. And this person, he said that when you catch a snake, what happens is that you press his mouth with a stick, then you put him inside a bag. What happens is that actually you destroy all the collarbones of the snake. And the snake becomes incapable of eating anything after that. Any snake which is caught in that process mostly dies after 7 or 8 days, because he cannot swallow anything. Right? So therefore he rescues snakes. So he said, so there is no school of that. There is no course which you can do of snake rescuing. Snake rescuing means simply catching a snake and putting in the bag. That's it. Now how you do it? He does it. And he has a passion for it. And he's a proper devotee. Huh? Puts nice Ramanuja Tilak. So we asked him a simple thing. I said, what is it that really inspired you to become a snake rescuer? What is it that really inspired you? So he told something very nice. And that, I thought that, see, you cannot just look at snake from one perspective. And there are so many other perspectives that you should also look at. So this is what I was taking as a theme of this purport, that you cannot just look at one particular angle. There could be other interesting angles. And he said, you look at a snake. You know that the way they catch a snake is that they stand still in front of a snake. So when you stand still, the snake cannot recognize that you are a human being or you are anything. If you are moving, so he told one experience that he was actually sitting in front of a cobra and he was about to catch him. So the way you do it, that you stand still in front of the snake. When the snake looks here and there and he doesn't understand that you are an object, your movement should be so fast that you take a bag and immediately cover it. And that's how you catch. That's the only way to rescue. So he was sitting in front of the snake and completely standstill. The snake was not doing anything, looking. And he was just about to grab. And one enthusiastic person in the crowd came from behind and said, hey, why is he not biting you? And immediately the snake bit. Because the snake saw that movement. And then this man was in the ICU for 3 days. Because of the snake bite. But still he did not stop rescuing snakes. So we asked him that, what makes you so determined, you know, to do this activity? So he said, you look at a snake. He said, can he really see also properly? Look at his ability of seeing. He cannot see. Only when some movement is there, he is able to see. Look at the ability of hearing. Does snake have very good ability of hearing? In fact, modern science says that snakes don't have ears and they cannot hear. But scriptures don't say like that. So we accept scriptures also. So he said he has very minimal ability of hearing. And snake doesn't have hands. And snake doesn't have legs. Correct? No hands, no legs, no proper vision, and no proper hearing ability. Now you imagine a human being like this. A human being who has no proper vision, no hearing ability, no hands and no legs. Is that human being of any value to anyone, to any society. He is like a vegetable actually. And would you even pay heed to that human being if he is around? Would you even notice him? He is practically useless. He said, but just see this creature, he is scaring everybody. Says, what kind of power God has installed in this creature? It doesn't have hands, doesn't have legs, doesn't have hearing ability, doesn't have proper sight. And he is able to scare everybody. Everyone is scared of him. Said, therefore this animal must be special, so I must rescue him. This was his realization. So I said, wow. So we read of, you know, somebody accepting snake as a guru and tree as a guru. But this is how you accept. Even in snake, he is able to see this one particular thing and he is saying, wow. And he is inspired by that. And he said, this, because God has given that ability to this animal, of not having anything, still be able to make his brand, you know. Like, you cannot miss. If a snake comes in the temple, you cannot miss that. Right? You have to run away. So that is a empowerment. That is empowerment given by God. So you appreciate that empowerment and you appreciate the animal. Therefore, such animal has to be rescued. And snake is accepted as a friend of the farmer everywhere you go, anywhere, you know. So, you know, that's how he... So looking at various angles, looking at the same story from various angles. So anyway, coming back to the purport of Dhruva Maharaj. So this Dhruva Maharaj, here it is mentioned. So we'll come back. So we come to this particular purport, which is just before that verse. Yeah. So what I was talking about is staying in the city makes it so difficult to experience Srimad Bhagavatam. And this person, they're able to experience. Now if that person reads that shloka of snake, the child is going to relate. Oh, this is what it means. This is how it exactly. So what happened is that one child was sharing that his daughter, she held a small butterfly in the hand. And the butterfly was walking in her palms. And she said, oh, I am feeling just as if the snake is there in my hand right now. I am getting the exact same sensations. Our even sense of touch is not sufficiently developed. You know, even the full sense of touch is also, we don't know. If you touch something, you are not able to understand that this is the object. I have seen people, they touch and from the touch they can make out 100 rupee note and 1000 rupee note and a 10 rupee note just from the touch. Our even touch is not properly developed. So what to speak of performing bhakti and, you know, developing higher anandamaya kosha and everything. Even the sense of touch is not properly developed. So I am just saying that we are so much deprived. So much deprived. I was reading one book and it was explaining that how does one develops one's intelligence. Do you know how a child develops its intelligence? Any guesses? How does a child develop his own intelligence on his childhood? By running behind frogs, by running behind butterflies, by playing with street dogs, by observing cats. This is how, and it is recorded. You know? How many children staying in posh, sophisticated houses are even having a facility to run behind a butterfly? Now, how many of you have caught the dragonfly in the childhood on the tail? Now, please ask this question to any first standard or second standard class in today's age. And nobody will raise hand because they don't have this experience. So how the intelligence will also develop? Right? So even to experience Srimad Bhagavatam fully and to understand it fully, you know, we need places like GEV. And we need some free time also to run behind butterflies and probably play with the dogs and ducks and, because that is required. It's a need. It's a need of a human being. So anyway, so here in this purport, Srila Prabhupada says, and he makes a very powerful statement. He says, another point established in this verse is that meditation should be carried on with the chanting of a mantra. Chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra is the easiest process of meditation in this age. As soon as one chants the Hare Krishna mantra, he sees the forms of Krishna. So it's not mentioned that he is likely to see, he may see, It's a clear statement. As soon as one chants Hare Krishna mantra, he sees the forms of Krishna. It's mentioned here. It's a purport. And he says, as soon as he chants, he sees the forms of Krishna, Rama, and their energies also. And this is the perfect stage of trance. One should not artificially try to see the forms of the Lord while chanting Hare Krishna, but when the chanting is performed offenselessly, the Lord will automatically reveal himself to the view of the chanter. So this is the main thing. So as soon as the chanting is offenseless, the Lord will automatically reveal himself to the view of the chanter. The chanter therefore has to concentrate on hearing the vibration, and without extra endeavor on his part, the Lord will automatically appear. So it's a very clear statement given by Srila Prabhupada. So then, what I was trying to say is that this process that we know of Shabda Praman, Anumana Praman, Upamana Praman, and Pratyaksha Praman. So if somebody asks you a question that bhakti comes in which category? Is bhakti Shabda Praman? Is bhakti Upamana Praman or Anumana Praman? Or is bhakti Pratyaksha Praman? So what is the answer? So in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Pratyaksha Avagamam Dharmyam Susukham Kartumam. He doesn't say Upamana Avagamam Dharmam or Shabda Avagamam Dharmam. Pratyaksha Avagamam Dharmyam. That means bhakti process begins with Shabda Praman because you don't have faith. So in the association of devotees, you first develop faith, right? Then you will get experiences. Then you can even draw inferences. That yes, there are so many great saintly persons. They are experiencing Krishna in the holy name. In their activities, their life, if they are able to do like this, then maybe there is something like holy name. Maybe holy name exists. Then there is analogies. Go through the analogies, go through arguments, purva paksha, everything. And then once everything happens, when the sangati comes, when there is complete, then one actually experiences Lord Krishna in one's life. And that's what the second part of the purport, the second paragraph of the purport very clearly says. So here Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that as indicated here by the word Sakshad, perceiving the personality of Godhead means seeing the personal form of the Lord, his hands and legs, his various transcendental vehicles and servants and so on. Just as by devotion to the sun god, one can gradually perceive the personal body of sun god along with his chariot and personal attendants. So similarly, one can actually perceive Supreme Personality of Godhead directly. So that's all I had to speak on the verses. If there are any questions, we can take right now. Or, yes, Mataji. Pratyaksha Praman means you see straightforward, direct experience. So by following the process of bhakti, one actually gets direct experience of the Lord. If you are following it properly, as here mentioned in the purport, that if you are offenselessly chanting, or if you are performing devotional service in a way which is as per the bona fide representative, you can actually get direct experience and direct realizations. That is called Pratyaksha Praman. So there is Shabda Praman, which is the word, which is word of God, which you accept directly. Then there is Anumana Praman. That means you don't really have an direct experience as yet, but you can compare. You can draw inferences that it is like this. For instance, Prabhupada gives an example. I heard it today only in the lecture. He says, if there is a car standing outside, now you are not seeing the car right now, but you can say that maybe there is a car standing outside. Why? Because you hear some vibrations, or you may not even hear any vibration, you may just get the smell of the exhaust, and you say, there must be a car outside. So you don't know whether it's there or not, but you are just saying that yes, there must be a car outside. Or in the morning, when the sky is completely cloudy, so if I ask you right now, tell me whether it's a day or night. Look outside and tell me it's day or night. But can you see the sun? No. But because there is light, although I am not able to see the sun, but the light is there, so I am saying that, okay, sun must be there. But I am not able to see still. I am not so sure. But because, so I am drawing inferences. Inferences from things that I see. Right? So the scriptures say that, okay, if you don't accept God immediately, you can actually draw inferences. You know, draw inferences. No, don't immediately deny. Don't immediately say, no, because I cannot see, this doesn't exist. No. But there are inferences. Or because I cannot accept these words, I cannot agree. No, there are inferences. It is like an intermediate stage. It comes between Shabda Praman and Pratyaksha Praman. So you can draw inferences. And then say, yes, there is a possibility that this is truth. And after that, there is upama, that means you give analogies. So you are not able to understand something very clearly, but you can give an analogy. So for example, Lord Krishna did pastimes of Ras Leela. And it is mentioned that the entire Ras Leela pastime was equal to one day of Brahma. So now how is it possible? Does it make sense? One day of Brahma is how many years? You know, there's many years. Right? The entire pastime of Ras Leela continued for an entire day of Brahma. How is it possible? How can... So one devotee is explaining to me. He says, if few years back, if I was to tell you that a huge amount of information can be stored in a small flash drive, and you would say, hey, how is that possible? You know. Like Radhanand Maharaj quotes this example many times. If you had one entire 2-hour lecture you want to hear, then there would be tapes. You remember earlier those tapes were there. And even one tape was not able to accommodate entire 2-hour class. So you would take it round and like this and then move it with hand sometimes. And I put another tape. Right? So someone was to tell you that in the same space that you have those two cassettes, in future, you will be able to fit not just 1 2-hour class, but practically thousands of 2-hour classes. And you would say, hey, come on, how is it possible? Not possible. But now it's possible. You have this small, in fact, this is much bigger space. You have this drive which are this big now in size, and it can take so much of data. Right? So what we have been able to do is through our intelligence, you have been able to compress. It's compression, right? You are able to compress information into something very small. Because that is your ability. Based on your ability, you are able to compress earth, water, fire, air, ether. That you are able to compress. Right? So, time you can't do anything about. But Krishna has the ability to compress time also. So he said, you are drawing an inference. So you are drawing an upma. You are giving an analogy. Just like a human being can compress data, Krishna can compress time. Krishna can put the entire day of Brahma into that Ras Leela pastime. He could do it. Or Krishna could put the entire universe into that small, tiny mouth of his own. So compression technology exists. But you don't know. But you can take an analogy. And you say, possible. If I can do this, Krishna can do that. That means it is not mythology. That means it has to exist. So you are not directly clear calling it as mythology and saying that, hey, this is all nonsense, I don't believe it. No, why you don't believe it? See, you yourself can do it. And if you were here, Radhanath Maharaj was explaining that day, he was giving a class, and he was mentioning that just see the miracle of God. If you believe that Krishna cannot compress, okay, I don't believe Krishna can compress time. So he said, just look at the cloud. So when a cloud bursts, it actually washes off the entire city. The water is so much, and it literally like thousands of gallons. So you know the ratio of the water's volume and the water's weight? 1 liter is equal to 1 kilo. That is normal physics. 1 liter is equal to 1 kilo. 1 gallon is equal to approximately 4.5 kilos. That is just 1 gallon. Is there anybody who can make 4.5 kilos float like this? 4.5 kilos is a good weight. If it hits on your head, you will die. 4.5 kilos is big weight. Right? Now there are thousands of gallons in a cloud and they're just floating in the sky. So who can do it? Only God's arrangement can do it. Nobody else can do it. So this is an analogy. So thousands and gallons floating on the sky, and Maharaj said just a small wind comes and pushes it aside. Just see. Thousands of gallons. That means how much will be the weight? It's incomparable. It's just floating on the sky. And just going here and there like this. Portable. Fully portable. We see this. And it's leak proof. Also. Because I see these big, big tankers going nowadays. And half of the tanker gets empty, I think, in the transport only. Because they don't have their... Because in India, the problem is, I mean, I am also Indian, that many things work on a chalta hai basis. Now, you don't see those leaking walls in a petroleum tanker. On a petroleum tanker, you see the moving with this motion, some petrol is coming out like that. And the people will just collect so much of petrol. You don't see it happening, right? Because usme nahi chalta hai. But pani chalta hai. So, but in cloud, do you see like that? Do you see some leakage happening like that? No, it goes completely leak-proof like this, from one place to other. And we were actually talking about this some time back also. What to speak of a water, this is a big thing. Have you seen a layman? A layman is completely leak-proof. Actually, you can even hit somebody with a layman, still the water will not come out. And if you open that layman, there is that one small, I don't know what it is called as, that one small thing, right? And when you press that, the water comes out. Such a miracle. Right? It remains like that. You don't have to say someone, okay, please take care of lemon, I'll give you a plastic bag because it will become wet. No, you can carry lemon in a pocket. And the moment you squeeze, so much of water comes out. Transportable. Krishna, when he makes something, everything is perfect. It's leak-proof, it's transportable, it's completely, and it has so many benefits also. So many Ayurvedic benefits, so much of, just one small fruit. Now, if someone can do that, then why can't compressing time is a big thing for him? That's very easy. That's like a child's play. Ye to bahut choti baat hai. Other things when you see in the world, so this is how you give analogy. So when you give analogy, a person says, ha, okay. Of course, if a person is open-minded. If it's close-minded, then you can't do anything about it. Then you just have to say, Hare Krishna, give prasad and go away. But then, if he's open-minded, so you give inferences, if he says, no, I want to see God only. The process is there. Just chant offenselessly, you will see God also. Even that is available. But do it. You have to go through that process, at least. That Gaur Gopal gives, Prabhu gives that nice shloka. What is that? Tile Tailam, what is that? What was the beginning? Pushpe gandham tile tailam kashte agnim payasi ghrutam akshau gurham yatha dehe pashyati atmanam vivekataha. So he says, just like pushpe gandham. So you take a flower, you make the flower like this. Does something fall down? Nothing falls. But there is scent inside. There is attar. But when you put like this, nothing falls. But then there is a process by which the attar can come out. Is there? Pushpe gandham tile telam. In a small sesame seed, till, there is oil. But does oil come out like? No. But if you undergo some process, it will come out. Kashte agnim payasi ghrutam. In wood, there is fire. In milk, there is ghee. But you don't see it. And in sugar cane, there is jaggery. Right? They all are there. In wood there is fire, in sugarcane there is jaggery, like that. And in milk there is ghee, but you can't see it. But you undergo a process, then what happens? Pashyati atmanam vivekata. You can actually see it. So some processing is required. Without process nothing happens. Some processing has to undergo. Right? So, if you want to see God, process is there. But you have to undergo that process. If you actually undergo the process, you can see God. And as Maharaj, what is his name, Prabhuji? He's from Germany, Kadambakanand Maharaj. So people ask him that, have you seen God? So he says that, I have not seen God, but I have seen his hand. He says, I have not seen God, but I have seen his hand. So you may not be able to see God, but at least you will see his hand. That is guaranteed. I don't think there's anybody sitting here who has not seen the hand of God. Everyone has seen. You understand what I'm saying? Hand of God means a direct intervention in your life, which you feel that, oh, this, it was not possible unless Krishna was there that this intervention would happen. And everyone sees it. It is irrespective. Everyone has to see it. Because otherwise nobody can continue for so long also. Nobody can remain a brahmachari or a grahastha also for sufficient amount of time unless there are some positive experiences coming in. So that's the pratyaksha praman. So bhakti actually is pratyaksha praman. And, but you have to begin it with shabda praman and then there is a process and then you can conclude with pratyaksha praman. Wow, it exactly is 9:15 now. Thank you very much. If any other questions? Srila Prabhupada ki. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Jai.